Good evening. I have on the line author Jeffrey Fox, whose new novel, A Gift for the Sultan, explores the relationships between Greek Orthodox Christians and the Ottomans in Constantinople in the period just before the Ottoman conquest. It takes place in the summer of 1402 when Sultan Yıldırım Bayezid was just about to seize the city, and later when Bayezid and his horde were destroyed by Tamerlane in the Battle of Ankara, which postponed the Ottomanization of the city for 50 years. Jeffrey Fox is the author of books on Argentina, Venezuela, and Latinos in the United States, and of an acclaimed collection of short stories, Welcome to My Country, and country is spelled C-O-N-T-R-I here. Born in Chicago, he holds a BA from Harvard and a PhD in sociology from Northwestern University. This is the first historical novel and his first book about Turkey. Welcome to our program, Jeffrey.
Thank you.
How did you get the idea of this novel?
Well, it first came to me on the plane home from Turkey after my first visit, which was in 1997. I'd been very impressed by the vitality of Istanbul and the evidence of the long coexistence of the many cultures. This is evidence that you see in the architecture. It's evidence that you see in the food and in the manners of people. And I was especially interested in the overlap of the Greek Orthodox and the Ottoman Islamic and the later Republican Turkic traditions. And I wanted to imagine that city at its earlier period, when the relationships between those different ethnic groups were still very fluid, in the period before the Ottoman conquest. And there were two things that I learned about this period that seemed to demand a novel. One was that in 1402, the situation of the city had become so desperate under the siege of Yıldırım Bayezid that the Christian ruler wanted to surrender, and that he sent a secret mission to the Sultan to do this before his allies could find out. This apparently is true. There are several testimonies that he was trying to surrender. The second thing I discovered was that it had become fairly frequent for Greek-speaking Christian rulers and other Christian rulers to marry off their daughters to Ottoman Muslim princes as a way to buy peace and to forge political alliances.
Interesting. Are there any examples of that you can give us?
Well, sure. A couple that are very close to the period I'm writing about. Murad, Bayezid's father, fell in love with and entreated Emperor John VI to give him one of his daughters. And Emperor John VI did. So he married one of these princesses, the daughter of Emperor John VI. It was said that she was as lovely as a houri. And Bayezid himself married the daughter of Serbian King Lazar. And she apparently, this was a Christian Serbian Orthodox princess. This was after he had defeated and killed Lazar at Kosovo, the daughter. And she became really his principal wife. There were other cases in Trebizond and in other Byzantine cities. And I thought this was very odd, because the marriage customs are so different in the two cultures. And I tried to imagine what this would have been like from the point of view of the girl. And so that was all I needed. I put these two ideas together, and there I had the germ of the novel. The emperor tries to surrender to the sultan and includes a princess to seal the deal.
Interesting. There's also a Gazi, Arslan Şahin, who is supposed to deliver the surrender gift to the sultan. Tell us about him.
Well, I was fascinated by this period because the Ottomans were in transition. They had not yet become the kind of highly old bureaucratic institutionalized regime that they were to become in later years. They were in this transition from their older nomadic warrior culture, where each warrior chief with his band of mounted archers enjoyed great autonomy. And they were moving from that to this strongly centralized sultanate with unlimited power. This was not an easy transition. And there were a lot of these Ghazis and these warrior chiefs who resisted. So to show these tensions, I needed a Ghazi who, though he proclaims loyalty to the Sultan, he remains loyal to his ancient traditions, and he demands his own autonomy and dignity.
Your previous books have all been about Latin America. What got you interested in the early Ottomans and Constantinople?
Well, several things. First of all, I've always been fascinated by the energy that is produced when different cultures come in contact, when they collide. And that's really what my writings on Latin America are about. And that is one of the things that this novel is about. Another thing that has always fascinated me has been the power and resilience of great cities, the power of urban life to defend itself. When I first conceived of this book, this was very shortly after the siege of Sarajevo, and we had seen that city trying to defend itself against a force which I would call anti-city, people trying to destroy urban life. And that phenomenon was fascinating to me. So every city is unique, but whether we're talking about Rio de Janeiro or Mexico City after its huge earthquake, or Sarajevo or New York when the attack on the Twin Towers, great cities have the resources to endure enormous shocks. The siege of Istanbul in 1402 was that kind of a shock, creating enormous tensions and conflicts within it. I've also always been interested in how people who are given few options and almost no power in the social system manage to subvert the system and exert powers of their own. And this means, in this case, especially the women. So that's why there are so many active, independent women in the novel. Not just the young Christian princess, but also there are two slave women, one a Serb and one a Russian, and there are the Turkish women riding with the Ghazi's band. And they are individualized, they have minds of their own and agendas of their own.
How did you research this novel?
Since this was not really my field, and to this day I do not read either Turkish or Greek, I read everything I could find about the period and about its historical figures in the language that I do read, English, French, and Spanish. Most of the historical sources, fortunately, have been translated into one of those other languages. And I've stayed as close as possible to what we know historically about the historical figures' personalities and actions. That is to say, I've tried to portray Bayezid and his vizier, Chandali Ali Pasha, as closely as I could understand what those men had really been like. And then I have some invented figures. The historical figures include not only Bayezid and his vizier, but also Emperor Manuel II Palaiologos has a sort of a walk-on part in the novel. During most of this period, he was actually away in Western Europe trying to gather support against the siege. But he does make an appearance, and his nephew, John VII, who is more of a presence in the novel. And there's mention of the Serbian prince, Stefan Lazarevic, who is actually Bayezid's brother-in-law. And he commands the heavy cavalry in Bayezid's horde. And then there's a merchant, Georgios Gudelis. And I hope I've got him right. I don't know. We don't have much information about him. But this was a real merchant, a very rich man in this period. The other characters are fictional constructs, but they're based on real types from the period. There's the bastard princess, Theodota. I invented her, but we know that Manuel II did in fact have at least one bastard daughter who he treated very well. So this is plausible. And the Turkish warrior chief, or Ghazi Arslan Shaheen, is a synthesis of real Ghazis of this period and earlier. And then there's the Janissary, young Janissary Mehmet. He's what I imagine such a Janissary would be like in this early period, and so on. As for the Turkish women who ride with the Ghazi, the gentlemen and laborers of Constantinople, the Christian mercenary soldiers, English and French, and the patriotic juvenile delinquents, there's a whole gang of them, for these I had to rely even more on my imagination, but I've tried to create plausible constructs faithful to the time and place.
What would you say is the importance of your novel, Jeff?
Well, as I said, I first conceived of this story shortly after the brutal siege of Sarajevo ended in 1995, which was a bombardment by mainly rural-based Christian Orthodox Serbs against an urbane and sophisticated populace of mixed faiths but a Muslim majority. Then, in 2001, my wife and I heard, and then we saw, the crash of the planes into the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center, just blocks from where we were then living in New York. Then came the U.S. invasion of Afghanistan, and then Iraq. Violent confrontations between Christians and Muslims
And within each faith, between urbanites and tribal dogmatists, have come to define our epoch again as they did 600 years ago. So I wrote this historical novel to understand these phenomena, not to escape the present, but to understand it. I hope and I believe that this story of passionate defenders of opposing beliefs, obliged by geography and history to find ways to live together, is not only fascinating in itself, but also can provoke some useful thinking for our times.
Thank you for being with us, Jeffrey. This should be an interesting reading for our audience.